Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the will of God for you to be healed. This message that I'm giving you today, this is so foundational. This is so basic for every believer to know that it is the will of God for them to be healed. I remember some years ago as I was growing up in the Northeast, I had gotten saved, and I didn't have the teaching that I've received over these years that I've been here. And one of the things that we would discuss about concerning healing was whether or not it was God's will. Is it God's will for this person to be healing? Maybe God put sickness on them to teach them something. And you need to know right away, God does not use sickness to teach us. He teaches us out of the Word of God. Now that may seem basic to some, but there are a lot of people out there right now that really see suffering and sickness and disease as something that comes out of God. And I'm telling you today, it does not. It does not. He does not have cancer to give you. My Father would not do that to you. He is a loving, kind, compassionate Father. And we need to know that, and we need to understand that. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. It says if we ask anything according to His will, according to the will of God. In the Amplified Translation, it says this, this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and He hears us. And if since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of Him. That confidence, that boldness to be able to freely receive what He has done for us and what He's given to us. Knowing it is God's will to heal gives us a confident boldness to ask for and to receive the healing that already belongs to us. Knowing the will of God. But before we can have a strong faith for healing in our body, we have to do this. We have to get rid of all uncertainty concerning God's will to heal. We must remove any doubt, unbelief, any question about God's will in the matter. Remove all uncertainty. Say, it is the will of God for me to be healed. That is the most basic key to receiving our healing, is knowing that healing is unquestionably God's will for our lives. Unquestionably His will for our lives, without question. Having no question whatsoever, the confidence on the inside. You may be sitting here today. There may be a report that's been given to you, a symptom that has been activated. Something that is going on in your body that doesn't belong there. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, without question, it is the will of the Father for you to be healed and well today. Today. Because He's done the work. The work has already been done. And this phrase that I'm going to give you, this is so powerful. Faith for healing begins where the will of God is known. Your faith for healing begins where the will of God is known. So how do we know what the will of God is? How do we know that healing is in God's will? Turn with me to the book of Psalms in Psalms 107. Psalms 107, and I'm looking at verse 20. We need to know, first of all, that God's word is His will. What you have there in your lap, what you're reading, your Bible, that is the will of God for you. You can trust that. You can believe that. You can partake in that. And you and I have a legal right to claim whatever God's word says is ours. We have a legal right to it. Whatever it says, whether it's healing or prosperity or provision or family relationships, or the plan of God for your life. That will of God is in His Word concerning your life, and it's always good and it's not bad. He's not going to lead you off into something that will destruct you. He will always lead you into the paths of righteousness and goodness. That is the heart of the Father. That is the compassion that He operates in. Whatever the Bible says you are, you are. Whatever the Word of God says you are, you are. Whatever the Word of God says you can have it. Whatever the Word of God says you can do it. And it really is exciting to look through your Bible and find those things. I remember years ago when I was struggling with the issues of healing and things like that, prosperity and thinking, or being told that it was God's will for you to be sick. He wants to teach you something. He wants to show you something. And when I discovered that it was truly the will of God through His Word that I be healed and well and delivered, it set me on a new course with Him. You can't talk me out of it. There's nothing you can say that will talk me out of the fact that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that 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 it is the will of God for us to live healed, well, and whole in Jesus' name. In verse 20 of Psalm 107, it says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I shared the testimony with you a couple of weeks ago about my father who came to me and said he was diagnosed with liver cancer. He said, George, what do I do? And I began to lay out for him a plan. I said, Dad, we need to find some scriptures to stand on, some scriptures to believe. And it really did, he found me a lot of scriptures and sent me a lot of scriptures. I said, let's pick the top three, and then we got the number one. And we chose this one here because it really applied to him in sharing that testimony about my dad, because he had grown up with a history of smoking and drinking. And when you've done that to yourself for so many years, when they tell you you have liver cancer, it's very easy just to accept it and say, well, I messed up my life. That's it for me. No, it's not. Not for the God of miracles. Not for the God who can turn things around in your life. And I said, Dad, what we need to do is declare this scripture. And it meant so much to him because in verse 17, it says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And certainly my dad could have thought, well, I'm afflicted because of what I did. Verse 18, their soul abhors all manner of meat or food, and they draw near unto the gates of death. But, it says in verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saves them out of their distresses. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So we laid hold of that scripture. We stood on that scripture. We believed that scripture. And every day I would call my father. I'm here in Texas. My dad is in New England, Massachusetts. I'm calling him every day, and we're standing on that road. Dad, He sent His Word and healed you and delivered you from your destructions. And I remember the day that we looked at the word delivered, and it came out delivered. They told him that he had about 4 to 6 months to live. But we laid hold of the word, and we did it every day. Every day we stood, every day we believed, every day we confessed. Did it several times a day sometimes. And we got to the 4th month and we're still confessing and believing and standing. Came to the 6th month and we still confessed and we still believed. Came to the year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 12 years. And when my father finally passed away, there was no sign of liver cancer in him at all. So it is the Word of God that we stand on, and it is the Word of God that is the will of God. Say, God's Word is His will.
God's Word is His will.
For my life. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, turn over there very quickly. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're looking at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, For what? My words are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The word of God is life to you. When you read it, when you ingest it, when you get it before your eyes, put it in your ears, speak it out of your mouth, it becomes alive to you and health to all your flesh. The word health there in the Hebrew is medicine. It becomes medicine to your flesh. The other two words in the Hebrew, remedy and cure. The word of God is your cure. It is your deliverance. So say this after me. God sent His word. And healed me and delivered me from my destructions. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. So how do we know that healing is the will of God? First of all, you find it in the Word of God. You locate the Scriptures. I went through my Bible. I went through the four Gospels. And I've marked all the places where Jesus ministered healing to the sick. I've underlined those scriptures. I've highlighted those scriptures. I've gone through the Old Testament and I've seen in so many places over and over and over again, it is the will of God for us to be healed and well and whole. That is the price that Jesus paid on the cross and in the pit of hell when He took upon Himself every sickness, every disease. There's nothing that is left out. It is covered by the blood. Everything. Well, you might say to yourself, I have some rare disease that only a few people out of thousands have it. It's covered. It's covered. Well, I've got this that's going on. It's covered. It's covered. Well, I've got that's taking place. No, it's covered completely. It is the will of God for you to live in divine health. Divine health without sickness, no matter what age you are. Things don't have to break down. It doesn't have to crash on you. But as we press into 120 strong, vibrant years, you and I will experience age reversal. Age reversal. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So how do we know healing is the will of God? Because it's in His Word. I want to look at something else concerning this, though. How do we know that healing is God's will? Let me give you this phrase. Jesus was the will of God in action. Jesus was the will of God in action. All you have to do is go back and look at the four Gospels and see what He did. He was a demonstration of the Father on earth. I wrote this down here. You don't have to look it up, but this is the Passion Translation of Hebrews 1:3. The Son is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, His mirror image. He was the full expression of the Father's will on earth. He was the full expression of the Father on earth. I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about what it says in John 14, 19, He that has seen me has seen the Father. You know, wherever Jesus went, whatever He said what He heard the Father say. Whatever He did what He saw the Father do. And it says that He that has seen the Son has seen the Father. I would dare say that there might be just a few people in here who ever met my father, Horace C. Pearson's. Most of you didn't. He passed away in 2001. He's in heaven now. My mother's in heaven. But I was thinking about this principle, He that has seen me has seen the Father. You're looking at Him right now. There He is. Go ahead and put Him up there. There's my Father. And I think about my dad, and it's so amazing. And maybe some of you do that as well. Thank you, guys. Maybe some of you do that as well. But you look in the mirror and you can see your father. Sometimes I can see my mother when I'm looking in the mirror. But so many times I see my father. I do things like my father. My family lets me know that I do things like my father. I'll be sitting and having a meal, and my hands will move just like my dad. My motions will be just like my dad. Aubrey sent a picture yesterday of Eileen, and she said, make a funny face. And she made a funny face, and it looked just like me. It looked just like my father. So I made the same funny face and sent it back to them. So you are looking at Horace C. Pearson's. My dad was a very gentle man. A very gentle man. A very compassionate man. And in so many ways, I'm like him. I remember many years ago, when my father passed away, we went home, my sister and I, our family, Terry, we all went back home for the service, and we were going around the town getting ready for things, and we were going to be showing his artwork and so forth. And my sister and I decided that we would stop in at the old church that we used to attend, the Episcopal Church, and we'd see the pastor. So we walked in, and we hadn't seen him in a long time. It's been a while since we'd seen him. And we walked into the church, and I asked where Father John was in the Episcopal Church. They said, well, he's in a meeting right now. So I told them who I was. They said, well, go on in. So he knocked on the door, and I walked into the meeting, and he looked up, and he said, can I help you? And I said, well, we're Horace Pearson's children. And he looked at me, and he stood up. He said, you look just like your old man. That's what he said. You look just like your old man. And then at the funeral service, I did the same thing at the homegoing service that my father did for my mother's dad many years before. My dad stood at the funeral home and shook hands with everybody that came in. I watched that. I studied that. When my grandfather died, I did not want to go into the funeral home. I didn't want to see that body laying out. It was right before I got saved. I mean, right before I was saved. And I didn't want to see that body laid out. I loved my grandfather so much, I didn't want to go in there. So I sat in the car, and I'm watching everybody go into the funeral home. And I thought, I'm not going in there. I'm not. That's a selfish little guy I am. I'm not going in there. I'm 19 years old. I'm not going in there. But then this is what did it for me. I watched my father. And my father stood at that door. And he shook hands, and he hugged the people. And he set the atmosphere. That's where that anointing for pastor first started, looking at my own dad. And he set the atmosphere for it. He made it light. And by the time we got through, I finally went in there. I said, if he can do it, I can do it. And I went in there and I started greeting people and shaking hands. I'm telling you, pastor was being born at that moment. And by the time we left there, everybody was just joyful and happy. Fast forward to when my father passed away, I made a determination. I was going to do just like he did. I stood at the door of the church. I stood there while those people came in, and I shook hands with everybody that came in that door, and I hugged them. And there were several people that said the same thing that pastor said to me. You look like your old man. You look like your old man. So really, when you're seeing me, you're seeing my father. When you saw Jesus, you were seeing the Father and the manifestation of the Father's will. And all that Jesus did was heal. He healed. He preached. He taught. He healed. There was not one time where he put any sickness and disease on anyone. My dad didn't do that. My dad did not put sickness on me. He did everything he could, whenever I would get sick, to help me and to get me well. That's what my father did. That's what my mother did. They wanted to take care of me. There was not one time where he poisoned me. There was not one time where they tried to get some virus or flu and get it into me. Not one time. And if humans can do that, how much more can our Heavenly Father do that for his children? He loves us so much. And that's the thing that I so appreciated when I first learned this. When it first came to me that it wasn't God that was putting the sickness on me. It was the devil. It was the devil. And he so slyly deceives and lies and just stands back and watches people blame God for what he does. But we're not blaming God anymore. That's not him. That's not him. And we resist the devil and he flees. It is not the will of God for us to be sick. It is the will of God for us to be healed. And Jesus himself was the will of God in action. He was the full expression of the Father's will on earth. Jesus fulfilled the will of God every time he healed the sick. Every time. How do we know it's the will of God to heal? Because of Jesus. He was the example. I read this not too long ago, years ago, many years ago now. The scholars of the Episcopal Church were commissioned to study the subject of divine healing. After 3 years, a lot of study, a lot of research, they came to this conclusion. Quote, "The healing of the sick by Jesus was done as a revelation of God's will for man. No longer can the church pray for the sick with the faith-destroying phrase, 'If it be thy will.'" That's the Episcopal Church, who did their study and researched and found out that healing was a revelation and a manifestation of the will of God because it came through Jesus. And this scripture here, Mark 1:40, it says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus, moved with compassion," the force of compassion, that force of compassion flooded through him, flew through him, that determination. It said he put forth his hand, he touched him, and he said to him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, that's what Brother Copeland was talking about earlier, immediately, straightway, immediately, the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. When Jesus said to him, "I will," that was not a passive act. That was not saying, "Sure, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that." No, that was deeper than that. "I will" was a determined resolve from the inside. He was actually saying, "I must heal you. I must heal you." That is the heart of God himself. "I must heal you. I must reach out." He didn't wait. He said, "If you can make me clean." Jesus was moved with compassion. He moved first. Stuck his hand out there on him and said, "I will. I am so determined to see the sick made well." I think about those that have gone before us. I think about Oral Roberts and the passion, the deep passion that the man had for the healing of the sick. I see the same thing with Kenneth and Gloria. How much I've appreciated watching them all of these years. I've been watching recently Gloria's Healing School. How powerful they are. How I listen to them and I hear the passion in Gloria Copeland for the healing of the sick. And I remember those healing schools so well. She'd preach the word, have everybody stand, make a declaration of faith, which I'm going to make that same declaration today that Gloria made. And then we laid hands on the sick. I watched her lay hands on the sick. It doesn't matter how many people were there. It didn't matter how many times they came through the line. Which they would do that, especially in those conventions. "Haven't I seen you before?" But she stayed with it till every single one of them was ministered to. That was a passion. That was a passion that the Lord, that compassion that the Lord put down on the inside of her for the healing of the sick. It's still there. It's still there. And I believe Kenneth and Gloria will help me lay hands on people today. It's still there, that compassion. Jesus had that compassion. "I have to heal you. I must heal you. Healing is who I am, and healing is what I do." There's a question that's come out. Is it God's will to heal everyone? Thank you. Yes, it is. But you'd be surprised. You'd be very surprised, not in a group like this, but maybe some other place, another church. And I'm not complaining about churches and what they preach, but there are other places that will say a preacher will stand in the pulpit and say, "Hey, now it's not God's will to heal everybody." I was listening to Healing School yesterday. Gloria said something so funny, I laughed out loud. She said, there's some churches that you may not want to go to. They may be hazardous to your health. This church is not hazardous to their health. Not hazardous to their health. So I thought about, though, and I wanted to answer that because I knew today there might be someone here. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been in church. Maybe you haven't been to a service before. Maybe you haven't been to a service like this before. But you've come. You came with your friend. You came with your relative. And for that sake and for that reason, you need to know today that, first of all, in Acts 10:34, God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he'll do for another. Anyone who will release their faith, believe his word, and accept freely what he's offered to them, he will not withdraw. Jesus never backed away from anyone and said, no, you really should keep that for a while. On the contrary, just like he did with this leper here, he reached out, compassion in his heart, say, I must heal you, I must. And it's for all. It's for all. Jesus didn't say, I'll heal this one and not the other. And I looked at several scriptures. Let me just read them to you. Mark 6:56, as many as touched him were made whole. Matthew 8:16, he healed all that were sick. Matthew 12:15, great multitudes followed him and he healed them all. Luke 6:19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and he healed them all. Acts 10:38. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For what? God was with him. God was with him. I thought about that phrase. God was with him. He was inside of him. Jesus was the manifested will of God. And the force of the resurrection life was going through Jesus himself and reaching out and touching people and seeing to it that they were experiencing the healing power of God. Case after case, time after time. Terry and I were talking yesterday. And I asked her to remind me about a particular instance that happened with Aubrey when she was a baby and the details of that. And Aubrey was dealing with, as a baby, infection, ear infection. And the doctors were telling us that you're going to need to put little tubes in there to be able to start draining that if she doesn't get over that infection. Terry and I prayed. And it was right before one of the Anaheim conventions, West Coast Believers Convention. And we made this decision together. We are going to take Aubrey to Gloria's Healing School and let Gloria lay hands on Aubrey. And we are going to see a miracle. So we did. We took Aubrey to the Healing School. Gloria, she was about that big at the time. And you laid hands on her ears. And when we got home and got back to the doctor, completely clear. Completely clear. Say it works.
It works.
The word works.
It works.
I was remembering another time. I'd done a very dumb thing. I could have qualified for that scripture in Psalm 107. Fool, fool. As Mr. T used to say, fool. And I did a very foolish thing. I went over to somebody's house and I went there to borrow a lawnmower, a push lawnmower. And I was by myself. They weren't home. So I endeavored to pick up that lawnmower myself and put it in the car. It was a very heavy, heavy, heavy lawnmower. And I really hurt my back. It was serious. It was serious. It was one of those that you're laying in bed and you have to really think about getting up. And which way are you going to move? And how are you going to get up? And sitting on the edge of your bed and just waiting for that pain to subside and then getting up. It was that way. And I remember the day, there was one particular day that after that happened, I made an appointment with a chiropractor across town. And I don't know, Spencer, you were the one that came to the house. I was in rough shape. You remember that. It took a while for me to get into the car. I could not bend over at all. And Spencer had to help me over there and help me into the doctor's office. And he started working on me and working on my back. And I was half-heartedly confessing the word. I was more thinking about the pain and what was going on and getting some relief for it. So I went back several times and he worked with me on it. And then finally I went back, I don't know, it was the fourth or fifth time that I went back, and he sat down with me, and he was a believer. And he said, George, there's nothing more I can do. The only thing you have left is surgery. I said, let's pray together over this. So he and I prayed together. And I remember walking out of his office that day into the parking lot to my car. And you know, there was really something. It's really something when somebody tells you that it's going to take something extremely serious. And then all of a sudden I had this thought, which I wish I had a little bit earlier. But I thought to myself, it's me and God. It's me and God. And I went home and I found some scriptures. I wrote those scriptures out. I began to declare them, confess them. And you know what happened to me? One morning I woke up and I started by habit to try to wrench my way out of the bed, but I found myself completely healed and whole. Totally. Totally. Gone. That pain was gone. And I think about Terry and I were just going back through our lives and thinking about what the Lord has done for us and how He's healed us and how He's delivered us. And He's been faithful. Our God is faithful. He's faithful to heal. He's faithful to deliver. And I like what Brother Copeland said. This was about 1978. The Lord gave him this revelation. We are not the sick trying to get healed. We are the healed. And Satan's trying to steal our health from us. He can't do it. He cannot steal my health. Say it. He can't do it. I'm not the sick. Trying to get healed. I am the healed. In Jesus' name. So the question is, and this is the last question that I'll pose. Again, for those who may not have heard this before. Does Jesus still heal today? He does. He does. He does. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. And it's almost hard for me to believe that there are actually still people, pastors and ministers that are out there saying healing passed away. Passed away a long time ago. Well, they did that in the book of Acts, but they're not doing that anymore. But you know that's not true. You know that He still heals. And we need Him now in this society more than we've ever needed Him. We need Him now in the things that people are finding and running into and the afflictions that are coming up. We need Him now more than ever. The answer to that is yes, absolutely. He is healing today. He's healing right now. And I saw this. I looked at Acts 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, that He began to do. The book of Acts is not over. The book of Acts is still being written today. It's still being written today. And we must press into that. Because Jesus said, I want my church back and I want signs and wonders. I want the healing. I want my healing ministry back in church again. Again. He's not done yet. In Acts 5:12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And musicians, if you'd make your way, please. Mark 16. This was the commission that was given to the disciples and given to us to fulfill. Jesus said in verse 15 of Luke 16, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, signs, and I wrote in my Bible, the definition of the signs. A sign is an unusual occurrence that transcends the common course of nature. It's a remarkable event. And the word sign in the Greek there is the word miracle. Miracles and wonders. And these miracles and these wonders shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they, you know, I just thought about that. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I thought about my father who drank alcohol for years and years and years and years. And he lived. He quit drinking. I remember when he quit drinking. I was 10 years old. My parents were separated. He went to the bar with my uncle, who was a masterful drinker. And they're both sitting at the bar and they're drinking. And my uncle looks at my father and said, "Horace, you need to quit drinking or your family's gonna fall apart." Then he went like that. Uncle Joe was ministering to my dad, and my dad the next day quit. Cold turkey. Quit drinking. My dad quit smoking on October 21st, 1979. How do I know that date? That's the day that Jeremy was born. And my father said, "I want to see my grandson grow up." But he quit drinking that day. And I just thought about that scripture. They'll drink any deadly thing and it shall not hurt them. And then it says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's one of the ways that God has given us to see that healing and delivering power, to lay hand, the point of contact, the release of faith. The anointing that dwells within us, that surge of the power of God, the compassion of the Lord that goes through us into another body, charging that body. In the same way that you saw with David Crank and Nicole just a few moments ago, laying hands on that girl, that the divine energy of God flooded into her body and straightened up everything that needed to be straightened up. And that's what is available to us here today. That power of God. That healing power of God. I want you to stand with me right now, if you would, please. And I've never led anyone in this declaration of faith, but Gloria, this is yours. This is what you've led us in for many, many, many years. And it stirred me last night as I was reading it out loud again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all of those years that you devoted to the healing ministry and still do. Thank you. Thank you. This is what Gloria would say first. She said, "If you believe this gospel that I have preached to you this morning, and you're ready to receive the power of God unto salvation for your spirit, soul, and body," she'd say, "stand to your feet." So we're standing. We're all standing right now because we're all receiving. She said, "If you can't stand up on the inside." And then she said this, "We take authority over all sickness, all disease, all devils, and the curse of the law. In the name of Jesus, we declare the healing power of God over this congregation here and over the congregation that is watching us right now. And we place ourselves in a position of faith and receiving all that God has for us." And then she would say this, she would say, and then repeat this after me, "The gospel that I've heard is the power of God unto my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord over my life, my spirit, my soul, and my body. I receive the power of God to make me sound, whole, delivered, saved, and healed now. I act on the word of God and receive the power of God. in the name of Jesus. Sickness, weakness, pain, you are not the will of God. I enforce the word of God on you. I will not tolerate you. Presence. I will never allow you back. My days of sickness and disease are over. I am saved. I am healed. The power of sickness has been forever broken over my life. Jesus bore my sickness. He bore my weakness. He bore my pain. I am forever free. Sickness shall no longer lord it over me. Sin shall no longer lord it over me. Fear shall no longer lord it over me. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I receive this gospel. I act on this gospel. I am made whole in Jesus' name. And then she would say this: act, praise, move, see, hear, straighten up, be delivered, be free. Are in the power of the tongue, and the words of life that we speak minister to the very bones of our body, the nerves carried on every nerve of our body. And so now the time has come to lay hands upon those that need help, that need help in their body. In the same way that Jesus would lay hands on the sick, we are here and we are prepared today to lay hands upon you. And so, Terry, would you come up and give instructions, please? And what I'd like to do, Kenneth and Gloria.